Amen. All because of God's amazing grace. That's why any of us are here today. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you have your Bibles, and I want you to turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. The title this morning is God's Spiritual Rebirth. This is in connection with observance of the Lord's Supper today. I'd like to focus on the Lord's Supper and not tag it on at the end, but make it the center point of the message as we will be observing the Lord's Supper this morning together. All of you are familiar with this particular text. I like to just read it to remind me what Jesus says, you must be born again. And all that's been born, we know that we have been born from above, as Jesus tells Nicodemus. So follow along with me with John chapter 3, beginning from verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs, he's talking about signs, miracles, and wonders, that you do, unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Jesus, now how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again. And Nicodemus says, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That is which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And then again, Jesus says, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. In this conversation with Nicodemus, we find the means of attaining eternal life and the importance of personal faith and a decision. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or word of truth. And Jesus was letting Nicodemus know right off. Jesus knew Nicodemus's heart. He knows our heart. He knew Nicodemus's reasons for coming to talk with him. But Jesus had more important things to talk to Nicodemus about, because knowing Nicodemus's heart, he knew he didn't have a personal relationship with him. And he knew he came with good intentions, because he wanted to learn more about Jesus. And it's good when we learn more about Jesus, because he is the Savior, he is the teacher, he's the Rabbi, he's the Messiah. And we cannot learn enough about Jesus. We need the Word of God to teach us that. And we need the Holy Spirit to teach us that through the Word. And Nicodemus wanted to learn more about Jesus, but he ended up learning more about himself. See, the Bible teaches us a lot about ourselves. We want to learn a lot about biblical truths and so forth, but when we read the Word, we find out a lot about ourselves that we really need to know about and really clean up in our life. So those who come to learn more about Jesus will learn more about themselves. Okay, am I walking close to Jesus, or am I walking away or afar? are not in line with Jesus' life himself. So this morning, we want to, I guess, open our ears and our hearts and then learn from Jesus as Nicodemus did. And so for you to be knowing that you are born again. Nicodemus experienced this with Christ. So first of all, in verse 3, read this again. Because Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, when you look at the kingdom of God, Jesus told the disciples it had not been yet established, because they was always asking about the kingdom of God. Well, in a lot of the scriptures here in the Word, Jesus says that the kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is in heaven. So, but he is establishing his new kingdom and will be a part of that new kingdom one of these days when we see Jesus in heaven. And we'll be taking observing the Lord's Supper today. And when it talks about Jesus saying, "I will not drink this cup again until I take it anew in heaven," what a glorious time that's going to be, taking that victory cup in heaven. And as you know, we'll be taking it with our loved ones. You think about that one of these days, the ones that we cried at their funeral, we was remorse at their funerals. One of these days we'll be taking it with them. We'll take it with Jesus. Jesus raised the cup, and I can just see the cheers erupt in heaven when we take that cup together with Jesus, because it's going to be, you will be there. I will be there. Our loved ones will be there. And so that's why Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you know, you've been born fleshly from below, but you've got to be born from above to be a part of my kingdom. And then 4 through 7 talks about the new birth. And we see Nicodemus intellectual puzzled. He was puzzled in what Jesus was saying. Verse 4 said, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Well, how can he? Well, he can't, can he? You can't be born again from the flesh or the physical state. And Jesus said he cannot enter a second time into his mother womb and be born. Can he? So he was puzzled at this. But Jesus clearly explained to Nicodemus what he had to do. Nicodemus takes Jesus' words concerning rebirth to mean physical. That's what he thought, physical birth. But he realizes Jesus is talking about a new beginning. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If we be in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed, new things have come." And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. You know, you got to put all the old things behind you and take on the new creation in your life, walking in the newness of life in Christ. And we know that when we walk in the newness of life, that we have a new creation. We have a new life in Christ. So we know that the physical birth or rebirth is impossible, but is a spiritual birth any more possible than natural? Well, can one be born of God's Spirit into a new reality and into a new life? Well, God's response is found in verse 5. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So, in response to the question as how to effect the rebirth, Jesus again forwards his remarks with the solemn and emphatic, "Verily, verily," or "Truly, truly." And this calls for Nicodemus' undivided attention to and important words that follow. The new birth is conditioned on repentance. Let me say that again. The new birth is conditioned on repentance. You know, we can confess our sin, but we must go further than that. We have to repent. We have to show remorse of our sin. And it comes from the heart, because Romans chapter 10 says if we confess Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth you confess, with heart you believe unto salvation. And in verse 13 of Romans 10, it says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So repentance is very important in order for us to be a part of the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus said, you got to repent of your sins. And Nicodemus wasn't a bad man. He knew the law. He was an upstanding citizen, Pharisee, yet he didn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and he had to make that change. So this calls for Nicodemus' undivided attention, and it was very important for him to have that new birth. So the new birth is conditioned on repentance, or turning and cleansing from the way of the world, and confession of the individual that Jesus is Lord. We must confess that Jesus is Lord. If we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we are recognizing that he is the Lord of all. And it is the response to the inner appeal of God that brings the transformation of life by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I like verse 8. I didn't read verse 8, and I was going to read it later, but let's read it now. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from, whether it is going, so everyone who is born of the Spirit. And I like the illustration of a little boy one day that was outside. He was flying his kite on a cloudy day, unlike today, which is beautiful, sun shining and everything. But this particular day, this young man was flying his kite, and this gentleman walks up and says, young man, what you doing with your hand up in the air? He said, I'm flying a kite. And the man looks up and said, I don't see a kite. I don't see nothing but the clouds. He said, oh, yeah. He said, my kite's up there. He said, it's a nice windy day, and I just wanted to fly my kite. And it's up there. You can't see it. And he said, well, how you know it's up there? He said, you take a hold of this string here, and you'll feel the tug. So the gentleman took a hold of the string, and he said, sure enough, there's something at the end of this string. He said, yeah, that's my kite. It's flying up there in the cloud, above the clouds. And so when I think about that, it says the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from. You do not know where it's going. So is everyone born in the Spirit. Well, you see, you can't see the Spirit, can you? But you know when that Spirit is tugging on your heart, guess what? You feel it, don't you? And you know it's real. And the Holy Spirit will make you know it's real when that tug, and you know it's the power of God calling you to repent of your sins. So the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. God has sealed the gate of the kingdom of God against all who have not, been born again. So unless a person is born, according to the scripture here, of the water and the Spirit, there is no entrance into the kingdom of God. And that represents the whole process of being born of the water and Spirit. Not the water that will save you, it's the Spirit of God. When we repent of our sins, we are become a part of the family of God. It's that cleansing, believing Jesus Christ as our Savior. And in verse 6 it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So here we see in verse 6 that Jesus declared that the entrance into the kingdom which Nicodemus desires could not be achieved by any human or earthly means. We can't work for it. Our marriage is not going to work or help us into heaven, but it's through our entrance into the kingdom of God, which is heaven, is by our repentance of our sins. So any birth or work of flesh produces only flesh. So you think about a stream. It does not rise higher than its source. And what is of earthly origin cannot give rise to anything other than what is earthly. So only that which is heavenly, and I call that eternal, that which is of God's Spirit can give birth into a spiritual kingdom. So, looking at this verse, verse 6, only God's Spirit produces spiritual birth, a new nature, a spiritual life. And to clarify this a little bit, spiritual birth is not something you achieve. It's nothing that you can achieve. It is something that you receive through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, you're thinking of God. God is three persons in one. Three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you think about it this way. Those three are always active. Always active. They're always intertwining with one another. Each one has a responsibility. God, our Father, being the creator of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He is the Savior of the world who came to this earth to die for our sins. There was no other way for us to be a part of God's kingdom unless Jesus came into the world and man could see Him physically and understand, yes, He is man, but yet He is God in the flesh. Think about that. He walked among us. He walked among us. And man didn't know Him that way. Many people today still doesn't know Jesus that way. But we can know. And that's why Jesus was so specifically talking to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit so that His spiritual presence would be among mankind, according to Luke 24:49, and those born again, Romans 8:9. So, the Holy Spirit came to this earth. Jesus said, I will not, if I don't ascend back to my Heavenly Father who sent me, then the Holy Spirit will not come. The Holy Spirit is present in our life, in our world today. And as Christians, you know, we have the Holy Spirit right here in our life, living in us. He takes up residence, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto good works. Now, Nicodemus must have been puzzled, had that puzzled look on his face when Jesus said to him, do not be amazed. Jesus could look at Nicodemus and see that he was puzzled or amazed at what he was saying. But Jesus said, do not be amazed, I said to you. You must be born again. He didn't just say it once. He said it at least three times to Nicodemus. And Jesus urges him not to be astonished at the teaching of new birth. It may be marvelous, mysterious, even difficult to understand. And it is for a lot of people today. A lot of people think, well, what what kind of life I have to live? Do I have to live a good life, do good works and things? Well, those qualities are much needed in our world today. But that's not the key. The key is accept Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on Calvary and be born again. So the word must be a strong word. In the Greek, in the absolute imperative, it was used by a commanding officer in the battle telling troops that they must take that hill or they are doomed, or else all is lost. So if we don't take that step, we don't take that command serious, we're all doomed to the devil's hell. So there is no other way to heaven but by the rebirth. As Jesus said, you must be born again. Our scripture for this week, pastor scripture for a week, is John 14:6. You know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And that resembles or like Jesus saying, you must be born again. So the principle of the new birth as the only way to heaven applies to all people, all mankind. You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. So as we look at the closure of this scripture this morning, after that evening, that encounter with Jesus, Nicodemus was a changed man. No one can come to Jesus unless they are going to be changed. You're changed. I'm changed. When I came to Jesus and accepting him as my Lord and Savior, my life was completely changed. My outlook on life is different. You know, it's a positive thing. It's not a negative thing anymore. Life can be negative. It can be, you know, it can be hard. But when you look on the benefits of our eternal life, the new kingdom, it's all positive. It's all positive. And he left the presence of Jesus never to be the same again. What he came to Jesus, whatever questions he had for Jesus, he knew he was a teacher, he knew he was from God, but he left a changed person. You must, you know, you could be so changed right now also, just like Nicodemus, if you don't know him as your personal Savior. So Nicodemus was a highly moral religious leader in Israel, yet this did not qualify him for heaven. And Jesus let him know that. And since the first man, Adam, fall from the original state of holiness, everyone has been born in a state of spiritual deadness. Everyone. Why Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So no matter how we are, we try to please God by good behavior, educational benefits, or our pious religious acts or rituals, we can not remove our basic self-centeredness at all. So just as we have been had a physical birth to be alive physically, we also have to have a spiritual birth to be alive spiritually. The new birth is given only by the direct action of God. The only way that we can be saved. This is the initial act that changes a person into a child of God. And there is no other way, according to John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to begin a love that the will and the way of God except through Jesus Christ. It's the best gift in the world. It's the best decision that anyone can ever make in this world to accept Jesus Christ. Nothing like it, is there? You know it. You know when you have Jesus in your life. You know it. And you know if you don't, your life is not the same. Nicodemus had a good life, but he had a better life when he left Jesus' presence. He left a changed person, a new person. And he never forgot it. Because remember, Nicodemus was at Jesus' crucifixion. He was there. And he helped with Jesus' burial. Amen? He was there. That's why his life was so amazingly changed. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the message that you give us through your scriptures. And one of importance, as we read from John chapter 3 this morning, there's a lot of troubled hearts in the world. And there may be troubled hearts here today. Maybe puzzled hearts like Nicodemus, confused. Maybe haven't really recognized the importance of making that decision. Or hearing the words, you must be born again. And I pray anyone listening or anyone here today, and I believe I stand before people who have made that decision to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Only you know our hearts completely. We can only see the outward appearance of a person, but not the heart. Only you know the heart. And that's why you sent your Holy Spirit into this world, to speak to the heart, that we may know that your Spirit testifies to us whether we are a child of God. So like Nicodemus, we must understand we must be born again. Lord, I pray that this message, your Holy Spirit, will lay upon our hearts, each one. If we're saved, not, and we know it, there's always that renewal, or rededication, sometimes we call it, that we might walk in the newness of life even more each day, yielding and surrendering our life completely in your service. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand at this time and sing our hymn of invitation. I'll be here at the front to pray, talk with you. Whatever decision God has laid upon your heart this morning, you come and make it known today.